Hi.
Hi guys. So I'm sorry if I look hungover, it's because I I went out on a girls' night out last night, my first girls' night out since like December, November. And man alive, am I feeling it today. Emma, how are you?
I'm all right. I haven't had 8 shots of tequila, so I'm all right, yeah. What's
Yeah.
your best hangover cure?
Diet Coke. A Diet Coke cures everything. I'm alone with Birdie all day today. I don't know what I was thinking. It just got carried away, didn't we? It happens sometimes. Okay, so guys, this is the last live of this round. The next round is going to open on the 11th. So we have like a, what do they call it in sport? A fallow week, which basically means we have a week of dead air. So we're going to leave the Facebook group open, but don't tag us because we're not going to be coaching because our coaching energy is going to go on promoting the next round. Emma, do we have any other admin to talk about?
If you want to help us with that energy, it honestly always sounds so much better coming from you guys. Some of the feedback that we've had and some of the posts in the group and stuff like is absolutely amazing. And obviously we're always asking if we can share that, but still, sounds better coming from you guys. So if you want to shout about the EC method, like now is the week to do it. That would really help us.
Yeah.
We'll be behind the scenes making some improvements. By the way, we read through all of the feedback that you gave, and obviously, some of it was really useful and constructive. So we're going to try and implement as much of that as possible. Not that I've not been trying to do this every single round since we started, but I'm going to try and simplify the onboarding even more. But we've had meetings with the guy that runs the
Out.
app, and
Yeah.
we've been doing a lot of that this week. So
We have.
we are always trying to make it as amazing as possible for you guys. So there's lots of improvements coming.
But I think it's also like, I will say this, and Emma and I have talked about this. We want to make it as easy as possible. But I think anytime you start something new, especially whether it's an app, which this is, like whether you download an app on your phone or you get a new phone or you join a new social media page. It is a bit overwhelming. It is a bit confusing. It's kind of par for the course of doing something new, and embarking
And
on
not
something.
just that, but like, yeah, you download an app stuff, but like, totally transforming your life,
Yeah.
instead of
Yeah.
diet culture messaging,
New
probably
information as
approaching it in a
well.
different way.
Yeah, like some people will already kind of have a grasp on what we're talking about, but a lot of people are like, whoa, 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 what the fuck is a macro? So it is challenging, and I think we do agree, and we've been talking about this for a long time. We do need to simplify it, make it easier, put as much of it in one place as humanly possible. But I think there also is just an element of, guys, it's the first week's going to be a bit overwhelming and confusing for everyone, including Emma and I. We've got loads of new clients, so there's an element of like, I'm like, it's, I don't think it's ever going to not be.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, there'll always be a bit of that when you start anything new. We can just do what we can to reduce that as much as possible.
Yeah.
Rebecca's just here saying, can't wait to start the next round. I'm full on head down and concentrate this time.
Love
Also, and yeah, use that week in between to kind of think about your goal, reset a little bit, and then we can get going for the next round.
Yeah, I think that in this, again, fallow week, I don't know why I laugh every time I say it. In the fallow week, it just sounds so much more professional than what we are. If everyone, like we say, we're going to leave the group open so you've got each other to lean on, but I've had a couple of tags about this yesterday. Some people feeling like they just are really struggling to implement the changes and find their way. And I really cannot stress this enough. It sounds like such rudimentary advice, and it works. Like, sit down, come up with a plan. Plan some breakfast, some lunches, some dinners that sees you hit your calories, some snacks that sees you feel mentally and physically satiated throughout the course of the day. Get up the next day and do it, just do it. And I always say this, and it's so true. The ball doesn't start rolling by itself. You have to push it, you have to force it, you have to put in the effort. It has to come from you. And then before you know it, after 2, 3 weeks, the ball is rolling and it gets a lot easier, but it's not just going to happen on its own. So remember that.
Do you know one tip that I would do, and I'm literally looking at my Google Calendar right now and I'm like, bam, it's in there, is I have an hour block on a Sunday that I put in every Sunday that's like weekly review and intention plan.
Oh, wow.
And
I love
basically, like, it's really simple. I just sit and I'm like, right, what went well this week? What didn't go so well? Oh, hi, Bodhi.
that. She's eating toast.
And
Yeah,
then
go on.
also thinking, okay, well, what do I have coming up this week? What might put me off track? Where am I going to fit in my workouts? Where am I going to fit in the work I need to do? Have I got any travel coming up? Are the kids off school? You know, but do it every single week, because it's one thing having a plan for 8 weeks, but that's your like big overarching plan. Every single week is going to look different. You know,
Yeah.
have different things that come up every week. So sit down every week and make a bit of a plan over what's going to happen. And do you know what? That plan still won't go to plan, but it's
Yeah.
better not having one. You know, like there'll still be tweaks.
Yeah. No, I think it's such a good idea. James and I do it every week. We have an hour where we just go over Bodhi stuff and like who's where, when, and what, da da da. It's so important to keep your shit together, for lack of a better phrase.
But even, I mean, that's great because you've kind of got accountability to do that. But if
Yeah.
you know, if you do have a partner, and especially if you've got shared childcare, like even it's kind of like a better excuse to do it and to sit down and be like, right, what are we both doing this week? What do you have coming up? When it, you know, if you're living with your partner, if you're still with your partner, like when are you going to the gym? When are you doing stuff for yourself? When am
Yeah.
I doing that? Like, then you have a solid plan between you.
Yeah, it's invaluable. And but the point is doing that for yourself as well. We all have busy lives, we all have crazy hectic lives. It's really important.
Agree. Okay. Samantha, hello. So glad I could grab 5 minutes from my holiday in Vietnam. Looking forward to
Hi.
the next round. Being in a bikini has given me lots to reflect on for my grad reset. And then Polly, morning. Thanks again. Ending strong after really getting lost. Some good goals set for the next round. How lucky are we to get to do this? Much love. What a
Yeah,
mind.
we love it. We love like some of the feedback we got from you guys, like the positive feedback was, I mean, it's life changing to read about and hear about, and it's just so lovely to know that we all feel the same way about the EC method. I mean, I just to be clear, a lot of you basically have said that it's something that's kind of been there for you through thick and thin and really seen you through some good, the good and the bad times, and we have this big supportive group of women, and how incredibly life-changing it's been. And I feel like that too. You know, it's no secret I've gone through a hell of a year, and without you guys, I just it would have been fucking awful. So it's mutual. We love it as much as you do.
Agree. Okay, do we want to go through some questions?
On the post or on the live?
On the post.
Okay, yeah, we can. I mean, I wasn't going to. Hang on. Well, now I don't even
Okay,
know what.
let's do three then, and then we'll
Just
wrap
because
up.
it's the end of the round, I didn't want to, like, I don't know, I guess leave it open-ended in a way. Does that make any sense? But let me go now. Let's see how many we've got. We've got quite a few. Oh, we've got quite a lot, yeah. Okay, Rebecca Burford. Hello, is there a max amount of creatine that you should take? I bought gummies, but after seeing that they're not so good, I've gone back to 5 grams of powder and taking one gummy, so 7 grams a day. I'm 44 and perimenopausal, if that makes a difference. I know I could have less powder, but it's easy to just add a scoop. You don't need to be having the gummy as well. Just have the
Yeah.
powder.
Yeah. What was that? Don't have the gummy Bodhi. All right, okay. Yeah, she's agreeing.
She's so her hair, this mullet is out of control. Okay. Joanne Huddett. Hi both. Oh, yeah. We're gonna start doing only first names, actually. Okay. That was some
Oh
quite
yeah,
random.
that was one of the feedback, was just
Yeah, a
first name.
bit of random feedback, but I was like, yeah, I'm here for that. Okay, so Joanne, hi both. On the back of a post from yesterday, which showed that I have lost some belly fat or central fat storage, despite being the exact same weight yesterday as I was when I started 2 months ago. I'm intrigued to know more about the link between the menopause and central fat storage. Inches wise, I've lost 2 off both my waist and my back. For context, I was 38 when I was told that I was postmenopausal, and I'm now 48. I'm on HRT, and maybe my belly fat is just wine and crisps. Thank you so much for being amazing human beings. Aww. Emma, I'll let you take that.
So, did you see this post?
No.
It's amazing, because honestly, you can see a huge difference. In fact, it's one of the examples I put on my story.
I'm just going to find it now. Go
Yeah,
on.
you can see a huge difference in how much central fat storage she's lost,
Oh, yes, I did see this.
but then hasn't lost any weight. Now, part of that's because she's like, oh, I had lost weight, now it's fluctuated back up again. That's completely normal. That's just weight fluctuations. She's mental.
No, she's mental. Just can't, just ignore her. Carry on. Sorry, guys. I have no childcare on weekends, so it's me and Bodie or nothing.
Yeah, okay. So first of all, I thought it was a really good example of not putting too much focus on the scale weight and making sure you do progress photos, making sure you do measurements as well. And then secondly, re menopause and central fat storage. The reason that you start to store more fat around your middle is because estrogen levels have dropped. This changes where you store body fat. So predominantly one of the reasons that women are more kind of like pear-shaped and store fat more peripherally, like around their thighs and things, is because of our differing hormonal makeup to men. And then when estrogen levels drop, you tend to store fat more apple shape, which would be your typical male fat storage. One of the reasons that men are at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease than women. But obviously, this increases your risk of cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes, like corresponding with going through perimenopause and postmenopause. Now, some of this can be mitigated by HRT. So if you're replacing some of that estrogen drop, then you may not get as much central fat storage. But whether you're menopausal or not, like storing a lot of fat around your middle is the worst place to store fat. It's the most dangerous place to store fat. It's actually quite safe to store fat around your arms and legs. It has very little metabolic complications, but when you start storing it around your middle, you do get a lot more of the negative health connotations that come with storing a lot of body fat. So when we see that women have lost it from specifically that area, we're like, that's even better in terms of health outcomes. Now, the way that you do that is exactly the same as you would lose fat anywhere else. So it's not, and you can't really choose. You can't be like, oh, I want to lose it from my stomach, not my legs. But it will come as you lose body fat. And if you've seen that you have lost fat around your middle, that's a very, very good sign for your health.
I love that. Emma and I did a really good podcast episode on pretty much everything you can think of, perimenopause and menopausal women and everything that goes with it, from body fat to hormones, HRT, like symptoms, everything. And it's a really good episode. So go and listen to it. I really recommend that. I'll put that on, I'll do a cut down, Emma. I'll put it on my Instagram page, because you did a call to action and got a huge response, eh?
Yeah, I put some of, I mean, thanks guys for letting me share it. But I was thinking about that yesterday and I put a few up because a lot of women struggle with that, especially around menopause. And I was just like, if you're struggling with this, shoot me a message. And I can't even keep up with those messages. I will get back to everybody, but.
You're insane. I said to Emma, I was like, you're insane. Like, if you are as informed as you are, and you know as much about the menopause and coaching as you know, to put up a call to action like that is, ooh. And I was saying, yeah, don't know what will be more popular, that or Ozempic. And I was saying, guys, I cannot stress to you, right? Living in London, kind of on the media scene, I just unfortunately happen to have fallen into my entire life. Everyone is on Ozempic. It has changed diet culture for the rest of our lives. I've never known anything like it. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. And the amount of people I can tell you who are very well known in the public eye and like posting on social media and da-da-da, looking like they've lost loads of weight and they're looking in great shape, who are on it, who aren't saying anything. It's like quite crazy, like honestly crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
It's changed. I think it's changed, like, diet, medicine, everything for forever. Like, I've never known anything like
It
it.
will be interesting to see what happens, even over the next year, of just how it's rolled out or how it's implemented or how many people have taken it, what the long-term impact
What's
is.
the long-term impact? And we already kind of have an idea. We know that it's like basically 100% rate of people who come off it regain all the weight back. They're just basically suppressing their appetite. So once they get their appetite back, but also, like, you look at the implications. Again, another podcast I did with Dr. Mike, where we talk about Ozempic in detail, implications on certain cancers, thyroid issues. It's interesting. I don't know. We can't say. Maybe it's going to be, I don't know,
Yeah, I guess
unimportant.
because you don't have like long-term studies on humans yet. So
No,
you
no,
have to
no.
kind of see what does happen. And then you always have to weigh up the pros and cons, you know, like is there a maybe small increase in risk of cancer, but is it actually an overall reduction? Because if they were going to be overweight anyway, we know that does increase your risk of certain cancers. You kind of have to play, both sides of it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like any medication. There obviously it's going to come with risks, but what's going to be the greater the risk reward? Anyway, right, anything else on the live? I'm
Yes.
actually not feeling hungover anymore. I seem to have transitioned quite smoothly into real
That
life.
diet coke.
It is.
Okay, dearest Clemmer, hi. It's 6 a.m. here, but you can be sure I set my alarm to be here. Oh, thank you for everything this round. After the shitstorm in my life right now, I am even more thankful to have you in my life. I am reevaluating my goals, making plans, and so excited to stay on for the next round and see what I can accomplish. Thank you so much for having my back. You're my safe space.
Oh, it's so
Aww.
mutual. I can't begin to tell you how nice it is just to have this big supportive group of women. And you're also
Yeah.
mental. Like everyone's just like, and I say this in almost every round, and this is why I love my friends that I love. Everyone's just like, live and let live. You do you. Like I'm so here for it. We need more spaces like this on the internet.
Who is it? Who was your friend that was here the other day?
Julia.
Yeah, she's so sweet. Every time I put something up about the EC method, she's like clapping it. I love that. I've got a couple of mates like that as well. They have no idea what it is, but they're like,
Like, she loves it. She doesn't give a shit about health and fitness. She listens to every single live we do, every podcast. I'm like, why? She's like, I just like hearing you talk. I'm like, okay.
oh, those are the best friends.
Yeah, they're all my friends at A's.
Okay, Janine. Finally made live again. Guess what? I'm walking again. Very slowly and not very far. I'm up 7,000 steps over, which is still slightly with a still slightly wonky gait, but hey, it's progress. I started at the gym after 15 weeks away, just light upper body with supervision. Goal for next round is to build back some of the muscle I've lost during surgery, or sorry, since surgery. And get back to walking normally. What a mindset.
Yeah. And you know what? Like we've all been there, like in so many different ways. Like since after having Bodhi, my God, it was the longest 16 weeks of my life before I got the green light to train again. And like Emma with her back, and like it's something. It's part of being a human. We're all slaves to our body, and it is really, really frustrating when you can't do with it what you're used to doing with it. But you've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You've got to keep your eyes on recovery and do everything that you can do until the glorious day comes. When you can actually get back to 100% again. But I love that mindset. Yeah, well done.
I mean, Janine's always had an amazing mindset. Even like just hearing her talk about like people saying, "Oh well, you're menopausal now. Just accept that's what happens to your
No.
body." She's like, I'm not accepting that.
No, she's always, yeah, she's been great. We also have Janine on a podcast, that one of the EC methods. So scroll back and find that
So
one.
good.
So good.
That whole podcast gave me shivers like all the way through. Just
It
people
was
talking
very
about
good, wasn't it?
it. Yeah.
Who else did we have? Was it Janine, Samantha? Everyone was fucking
Frank
brilliant.
Cammy.
Oh, FPD.
Oh.
What a lineup! What a team sheet!
Yeah, we had FPD from like the M4, somewhere on the M4.
Pulled in on the hard shoulder. I feel like we haven't really seen much of FPD this round, but I'm pretty sure she's here.
He's here.
She's here. Where are you, FPD? Pipe up, will you?
Oh. Okay. One more question.
I'm happy to keep going. If you guys don't mind Bodhi just gate crashing. She's got both of her milkshakes. There you go. Okay. Emily, see how I implemented the new change? Hey, Clemmer, just the thought that I've had this week, does protein work in the same way as calories? Oh, I know. No, is the answer. And then the day before you went, if the day before you went over your protein goal and the next day you were slightly under, does it all balance out? I track it during the week and it always go over. But on the weekend, I try to eat more intuitively. So I'm wondering if I was to eat under my protein goal, would my weekly intake make up for it? Thank you. No. Protein is really the only macronutrient that does not store in the body. And your body is in a constant state of muscle protein breakdown. and fueled by you and us as your coaches, muscle protein synthesis. And it's one of those things that you have to keep up with day to day, meal to meal. It's not as it's not a storage or I guess or weekly total like calories would be. Emma, anything to add on that?
Nothing to add.
Okay then. Elizabeth, dearest Clemma, for those who are staying on for the next round, will the workout still be accessible on my PT hub or should I go on a screen grab spree? Thank you. To be honest, we usually intend to take them down once the round closes, but they we usually forget to just leave them there for a few days.
Look, guys, as a gesture of goodwill, only if you share all over social media about the Easy Method and how amazing it is, will we leave up the workouts for the week. And then at the end of the week, we'll take them down and replace them with the new ones.
That's so good, Emma. You do your bit and we'll do ours. You do us a favor. You scratch our back, we'll scratch your back. Okay, anything else on the live?
No, we're up to date.
Okay, Anna. Emma and Chloe, I'm interested to hear your actual science and qualification-backed views on what Eddie Abiu is. Am I saying it right?
I don't know. Honestly, people send me his posts like daily now and they're just... I never actually watch them, to be honest.
One thing I have to say when clients send me like a load of like, I'll just kind of get the gist and be like, no, like yes, or like a yes or no, but I don't want to waste half an hour of my day like delving into nonsense that we've all heard a million times before. Like nothing annoys me more. So it says about fat adaptation. I posted the link in the group as it wouldn't let me post on here. Emma, you already responded to this, didn't you? Because I saw it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember exactly what it said. But I think the crux is like your body will utilize what you give it. You don't need to have it fat adapted or carbohydrate adapted. Like give it more carbs, it'll get better at using carbs. Give it more fat, it'll get better at using fat. You, getting better at using fat has no benefit to fat loss unless you're also in a calorie deficit. Like it always comes back to that. Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly the claims he was making, but if it's fat loss, it's always a calorie deficit, always. If you're talking about like fuel utilization, the only times where that might be appropriate are in neurological conditions like epilepsy or in like ultra marathon running. So not running a marathon, like running for like 24 hours or something, then you might be like, oh, actually it might be beneficial to become like keto adapted and be better at utilizing fat for fuel. But even then, a lot of the evidence is quite like dubious whether that's actually of benefit to people or not.
I must be the only person in the world, let alone health and fitness, who like can't think of anything worse than running a marathon. I'm like, why? But people fucking, and that's, by the way, no shade, like half of our clients run marathons, but I'm just like, oh God, no. Just think of my shins and I'm just like, oh no.
It's a strange thing that it's like the go-to goal.
It's the go-to goal. Crazy. Anyway, so she says, I find his apparent discipline, brackets, sticking to such a boring diet fascinating because A, I couldn't do it. And B, his messages about cutting down or out processed foods entirely obviously isn't a bad idea. But I find the extreme nature of some of what he says and claims, especially about medical conditions, worrying. I read a comment from a poor woman asking if he'd managed to cure anyone of MS as she had it. Obviously, his gimmicky approach is appealing to millions of people, but surely the health claims that he's making actually mostly come down to people losing body fat. Yeah. I'm just interested in your perspective. I'm not planning on following his approach. One meal a day, what the fuck? Oh, yeah. Okay. I love how the EC method has made me view this type of content so differently. Thank you for all you do and balance out this type of messaging. Yeah, full circle back to Emma's points about being in a sustained calorie deficit and all the benefits that you see, all the health benefits that you see across the board from being in a sustained calorie deficit are the same from being in an acute, short, specific timeline calorie deficit via fasting or something like that. So all of the benefits that you see by doing something extreme, you also get by doing something less extreme but more prolonged over time, which is obviously how we coach.
I mean it is somewhat interesting to just see, I guess. What's sad is like the misinformation, and I hope that woman's got proper support, but you'll always find one person. Like I spoke about MCT Oars recently, and someone commented saying, "Ha ha 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 ha! So you're telling me that MCT oil didn't cure my ME, even though I changed nothing but started taking it, and now I don't, you know, like, and now I'm completely better." I'm like, well, that's great that it works for you. Like, there's no fucking evidence for that. Like, and no, it probably did, but like, I'm not gonna argue with someone about that. Like, fantastic, but
But yeah.
find someone like that, and then you'll find someone else who's really struggling and would try anything. And they might then try something that actually wouldn't be suitable to them, or they feel like they failed because they didn't get the same result, or God
Yeah.
forbid, they stop taking other medication that might actually be useful to them, or spending money on something that might actually help them and spend money on this instead. There's so many things that can come up that sometimes it's just chance that someone got better at the same time as taking something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's placebo. Sometimes it's, you
Yeah.
know, other changes that they made because of that.
Yeah.
There's
And you
loads of
don't
things.
wanna, that's one of those comments you just leave alone. You don't wanna rock that boat. You keep your side of the street clean there. Okay, anything on the lines?
Hayley says that she's happy to share the EC method with her 45 followers on Instagram. I can't emphasize enough, right? Those 45 followers who actually probably know you are way more valuable than thousands and thousands of people that are following you because you did a home renovation and have nothing of, you know, don't actually know who you are, like no connection to you. Imagine how much more likely you are to like buy a book that your best
Oh,
mate
yeah.
is amazing
100%.
compared to one that you see an advert for on Instagram that goes to tens of thousands of people or well, millions of people.
Yeah.
It's completely different. And actually, the impact that you have on just telling two of your mates is a way bigger impact to us than if we got, otherwise we'd just get a load of Chloe's the influencer mates to talk about the EC method, right? But it's not valuable because there's no real connection there with a lot of them.
No, that's, yeah, no. This is why they sell a lot of books in their first week and then they sell nothing else after that first week. And that's, yeah, that's not the kind of audience we're after.
So yes, it is worth you sharing to your 45 followers. Thanks.
Yeah, it really is. Baby's so funny, honestly. Oh, she's playing with my feet. Okay, Teresa, I'm sure this question has, and then there's nothing. Okay, I'm sure this question has nothing after that. Doesn't make sense. But then she says, I'm going to start taking creatine in March as one of my goals, but I have serious gut issues. IBS on another level, sadly, but I manage it okay. This has been the reason I've been wary of taking it. Would it be best to start on a low dose, i.e., 3.5 grams daily, and see how I get on before I increase to 5 grams a day? Well, first of all, you don't need to take more than 3 grams a day, Teresa. That's fine. And second of all, I actually haven't seen any links in terms of evidence between creatine and IBS or flare-ups or anything like that. Emma, have you?
No, sometimes it does give you, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me as if you already have like quite a sensitive digestive system that you might be more likely to get some of the gastrointestinal distress issues that can come along with creatine. They're very rare. If you do, rather than taking a smaller dose, I just split it up. So have 1.5 grams with breakfast and 1.5 grams with dinner.
Yeah, that's not a bad point.
But the likelihood is that nothing will happen.
Yeah. Okay, Julia. Hi, I'm heading into maintenance next round and I want to focus on my glutes and quads. With that in mind, I'm thinking three lower slash leg workouts a week. So legs, push, legs, pull, legs. And then some cardio at the end of each workout. Does that sound like an okay split? I'm determined to find my quads this year. Yes, as long as there are no legs in the push and pull. But I'm fine with that. Also, I'm currently on 15 to 1600 calories and I want to up them to 17 to 1800 when I go into maintenance. I currently weigh 52 kg at 5'2". Does this sound about right to start with? Thank you. Yes, that's, I like small increases until we kind of find your happy real life maintenance, it kind of ish calories. All of that sounds good to me. Emma, any thoughts on that?
I think great advice.
Yeah. Okay, anything on the live?
Just Janet saying, morning, ladies. Sorry I'm late. That's okay.
That's okay, guys. I drank too much tequila last night and I'm single parenting with Bodhi this morning. I was in hell earlier, but now I'm fine because you guys, as always, have pulled me out of a dark, dark space. Okay, Elizabeth, again, I'm going to be working during today's live, so I won't be able to join you. Dearest Clement, excuse me. Thank you for everything. Personally, for me, this round was rubbish because of personal life challenges I've had. However, life is more than a set of hurdles along the way. I'm in the process of picking myself up, dusting myself and everything else off, and building myself back up. Your support and the ECM community has meant everything to me. Thank you. Chloe, the next chapter of my novel is in your IG DMs. Okay, I'll slide on in there and have a read. To everyone in the group, I'm proud of you. I'll be back next round so I can make you proud of me too. Aww.
Oh.
Such a vibe. Okay. Sucos, hi, please can you give me a quick opinion on taking glucosamine and
There's Bodhi's opinion.
what's chondroitin? I don't know what that is. For knee arthritis, is it a worthwhile supplement or not? Emma, do you know what that is?
I do you know one so there is some research. I don't know what the second thing is that you're talking
No,
about.
I don't either.
But for glucosamine, there is some research that it can delay the progression of osteoarthritis, specifically in knees. So yeah, it's probably, I mean, I don't know how expensive it is. If it was like very expensive, I don't know whether it'd be worth it, but if it's affordable, I don't know. Then yeah, it might be a benefit. Spot a slight benefit, some research behind it.
Nice. Okay. No,
Oh, thank you, Bodhi. Yes.
can you watch this, Bodhi? One, two. Two, can you say it? Two. That's such a London accent. Two.
Two.
Funny second. Two, yep, two. Totally. Hey, Lizzie. Question about training postpartum. My little one is now 5 months old. Where did the time go? I know, man. And I'm breastfeeding. I think you said it's hard to build muscle when breastfeeding. Can you still build strength? It's kind of the same. It's kind of like for like.
But don't you think as well, like a lot of people say this, same with going through menopause, like, oh well, you know, the drop in estrogen might make it harder for you to build muscle. That's actually more
Anyway.
point. You don't, like, you'd still do it. Like, if anything, you kind of want to do it more because you're more likely to be at a higher risk of losing muscle.
Here. It's better now than ever. I'm doing about 2 to 3 gym workouts a week. Thank you, Lord, for the David Lloyd crush. Thank you, Lord, for the David Lloyd crush, where she will be later today. I'm really enjoying having my me time back. I'm just taking it nice and slow. I've also been doing postpartum Pilates each week, and I went for a mummy MOT physio check around 3 months, and I have no significant issues. Okay, that's great. Well done.
Mother.
I've been able to do as much this round as I hoped, and my little one's reflux suddenly got. Oh, sorry, I haven't been able to do as much of this round as I hoped, as my little one's reflux suddenly got a lot worse in January. I was barely getting any sleep and was very much in survival mode, but we found a better balance now. Aptamil Pepti-1, can I recommend as a powder if this has been a result of you switching from breastfeeding to bottle feeds? But anyway, that's another conversation. I was lucky to have a very uncomplicated vaginal birth and recovery. Yeah, lucky you. I've been avoiding twisting core exercises to avoid putting any strain on my tummy gap muscles. Do you know how long I need to be cautious of that? Is there anything else when training to be aware of? Thank you. So your mummy MOT should have covered your diastasis recti. And if she said to you, or he, I don't know, it's really sexist of me to always presume it's a woman. If they said to you that your DR was nothing to be worried about, or really less than, I would say, 2 centimeters, then you're fine. But it is really important for all of you, but especially if you're pregnant or postpartum, that you learn how to engage your TVA before you do any and all lifting. And you can still do core exercises, but you need to really learn to do that so you can manage your intra-abdominal pressure and stop it from getting any worse. Diastasis recti is going to happen to 100% of pregnant women. Because your whole core, all your muscles in your core, your organs, your bones, your ribs, everything basically has to move to make way for this thing inside you. So it happens, and it's fine to continue to do core exercises or any exercises, but in order to manage that separation, you really have to learn how to engage the core. So I would reach out to a physio and ask for core exercises if you don't already have them. Tag me on the page and I can upload some for you. But yeah, pelvic floor and core engagement during exercise sorry, during pregnancy and after pregnancy is absolutely necessary.
Okay.
Anything on the live?
I'm just going to answer this one here.
Well, you're sat with your thingy.
With my hands.
Okay, fine. Faye, how important is fruit versus veg? I'm not brilliant at eating fruit, but I do love my veg. Yeah, that's me. So my 5 a day usually come from mostly veg. Is that a problem? I try to eat a range of different colored veg. As I know it's good for variety, but I don't know if I'm missing something by eating less fruit. So it's kind of exactly what you say, re veg and variety. The same applies for fruit, v veg, and fruit and variety. So, and it's really interesting again, the different colors kind of all align to different micronutrients. So, you know, for example, vitamin C with your citrus fruits, for example, and round we go. Leafy greens and your calcium. It is important, but I'm completely fine as long as you're getting a varied veg intake that you fall more
Yeah,
into.
I think if you're eating lots of different veg, then
Fine.
fine, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anything else in the live?
Nope, we're up to date.
Any foods in particular that are good for fiber intake? Trying to focus on reaching my fiber goal, and I sometimes struggle. So it's all plant-based foods. Anything and everything you can think of, from fruit, vegetables, legumes like beans, lentils, anything that roughage is what they call it, isn't it? Anything that's from the ground. Emma?
No, nothing to add. Rebecca's just saying, any chance of more full body circuit workouts next round? Yes, you'll get new programs next round, so there'll be new everything.
Sorry, Bodie's just. I went for lunch with my parents the other day, and they were like, "We're just a bit worried at how physical and fearless she is." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. I deal with it every day. You should see what she's doing right now." Come here. I know. Come in. There you go. Woo! Play with that. Okay. Okay. So, Sarah, what is the deal with the thumb position on the bar slash dumbbells? I keep seeing random things saying you should have your thumb under. Is there a preferred position? I think it's like the grip. Yeah, if you're
Wait,
doing
for the barbell.
the barbell.
Yeah, so some people say, well, especially for Olympic lifting, you want to do a hook grip, which is your thumb under. Doesn't really matter quite as much for like
No, anything
anything else, realistically.
else. No, I completely
You're
agree.
doing
Yeah, you're
Olympic
talking
lifting.
those big pull lifts like deadlifts, yeah. And I just don't think it's
Not
relevant.
even so much deadlift. I think it's more like the way that you're pulling, especially when you're being explosive with especially
Yeah.
cleans.
If you're talking like, I don't know, something like a bent over dumbbell row, no, it's not something you need to be too
No.
sound about.
Okay.
Okay, Ellie. Oh, go on.
Charlie, just wanted to say a massive thank you for always being here for each of us and our individual needs. You have seen me through pregnancy, postpartum, pregnancy again, including crippling sickness, and even though I'm miles off where I have been in terms of activity, food choices are conscious, and this group and your coaching is always on my mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you for saying it. It makes us feel so good. We really appreciate that positive energy. Okay, anything else?
Up to date.
Fab. Okay, Ellie, I do home weighted workouts. I lift to near failure on a set, and I usually have a 2 minute rest between sets. If I get distracted during rest, Sorry, guys. And it's a much longer period. Does it, will it affect my results? I still complete the same volume in sets and aim for progressive overload. I just wondered if it's optimal to have sets closer together or whether it makes no difference if the volume is over a much longer period of time. Depends on what you mean by much longer. No, it's not going to affect results at all. If anything, the longer rest period you have, probably the better volume you're going to get, therefore the better results you're going to get. But also, you don't want to get like, I suppose, like in a way, cool. I don't want to sound too gimmicky, but you don't want to kind of like cool down between sets and then get going cold again, because that's just going to put you at a higher risk of injury. How long is too long? Anything more than 3 or 4 minutes, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, normally part of the reason, and like Chloe's saying, you can argue this both ways. Like, part of the reason we don't set really long rest times is because everyone has a life and you don't want to spend hours and hours in the gym and you want to get stuff done. But it, I mean, if having a longer rest period means that you lift heavier and thus you have higher volume over the whole session, then it could be a good thing. But then on the flip side of that, if you're not then pushing your muscle to absolute failure because it's had long enough to recover and you're never really getting to that muscular failure point by the end set, then that isn't such a good thing. So it's kind of a bit of balance of both. I wouldn't over worry about it. I normally keep to like pretty strict rest times or short rest times. It's not like I actually time them, but then now and again I'll, I don't know, get distracted on Instagram and then it'll be another minute, not that fast.
Yeah, you just don't. I you also you do home weighted, so it's a bit different, but in the gym especially, you don't want to fuck around, like you know. Also, it's just that we talked about this and saw it yesterday in the gym. People who have a shit ton of dumbbells, and I'm talking like 4 or 5 pairs who are just sat there on their phone for 5 minutes. And I'm like, get the fuck up, use the fucking dumbbells, don't be a dick. The gym police. We literally have one more question on the questions post.
All right, good, because I need a wee.
Oh, fine, okay. I'm finally like back in the land of the living, and now we're done. Okay. Sam, hi Bo. Oh, Emma, this is for you. I saw Emma's post on muscle protein synthesis, and I wondered how important is a break between meals with no food or protein. I don't graze on food, but recently, Bodhi, stop. Okay. I don't graze on food, but recently I've tried having a clear whey drink.
Yeah, don't, definitely don't do that.
No, in my juice bottle during the day instead of squash is a way to try and increase my daily protein. One scoop is 20 grams of protein in the morning, and I keep topping it up with water during the day. So essentially, I'm diluting it down as the day goes on. Is this frequent small protein intake going to make a difference?
It might make it, I mean, it's probably not going to be a huge negative, although there is an argument that having elevated amino acid levels all day isn't necessarily a good thing. And you become less sensitive to the presence of them, but it's probably not that much of a negative. But would you be better off having that in one drink around your workout? Yeah, 100%. So I would rather you didn't do that and drink squash all day if you want, but take your protein, have it in one bout, and then get on with drinking squash.
Bout.
Yeah.
What are those words we say but rarely see written? Okay, guys, thank you so much for today. Thank you for being patient. I know it's not ideal doing a live on a Sunday, and it was my fault. Why the was it the Thursday's live that got cancelled? Friday's live, but actually, there's something very fun that, about with the EC that might be coming of that cancelled
Oh
live. So.
yeah, do you know what? It's well worth it.
If it pays off, it's a well worth cancellation of a live. And we will see you on March 11th. Please share on Instagram all your EC love. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye.